Hello and welcome back to the QU podcast. New year, new semester, new stories all around. So today we're going to talk about all of the new stories coming at you guys this week and what we can look forward to. So, Eric, we'll start with you. What story do you have for us this week?
This week I was going to bring everybody signing day. I just feel like it's a really big day for a lot of student athletes. You know, I was talking to Nora earlier. She was saying it can also be a bummer for people just watching from the stands, you know, because everybody doesn't get the opportunity to go to the next level. So I feel like you can speak on the best of both worlds, but also like the downfalls of it too, you know. So that's going to be my story, just how the day is represented.
What exactly is a signing day? Because I know a lot of students, athletes, like you mentioned, get to experience it. But as a non-student athlete, like, what is signing day?
I feel like signing day is like a global event from most high schools, where it can even be for like JUCO players and people that's trying to get back into college that hasn't, that's just been sitting at home. So it's just a day where people sign that got offered by colleges at the next level. It could be a full university, it could be a JUCO, it could be an NAI, you feel me? So, and it could be from, like I was saying, from JUCO players signing or high school or people even just sitting back at home just waiting for a school to get the call. So it's just a special day for the people that get the opportunity.
Awesome. It's a really good way of showing recognition and supporting the athletes.
Yes, ma'am. But it can be late signings too. Signing day doesn't mean it's like the last time you sign. Some people don't sign to school till the last week the school starts, or even it's been players that I've seen sign during after school already started. So you know what I mean? Signing day doesn't mean the opportunity is gone for people that hasn't signed.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. So that makes sense. Next story, we'll move on to Sierra. You actually have a really cool story coming out. I had no idea, being 6 hours away from Quincy and only going to college here, I had no idea there was even a speedway. So what does your story entail?
Yeah, so that's kind of why I wanted to write it. I know a lot of students don't know that we have racing out here, and we haven't had it since 2019, and we're bringing it back in April, so I'm just going to be covering that and what drivers and fans are thinking about that.
So what kind of racing is it exactly?
Yeah, so Adams County Speedway is a dirt track, so we're going to have, like, modifieds out there, late models, really all kinds of stuff, including what they call Hell Tour, which is in the summer. It's 6 straight weeks of racing for about 6 days a week for, it's across like 8 states, and it's going to have that out there, so a lot of exciting things to look forward to.
Okay, cool. And where exactly is the track even?
Yeah, so the track is out by Scotty's Fun Spot, if anyone knows where that is. It's out on the east side of town, so way out there, kind of back behind all of that, hard to see.
That is so cool. I would have had no idea had it not been for you talking about your story this week. So that's awesome. And then to kind of flip the pages, Micah, we know you have a really heartfelt story coming at us, and it might, you know, touch people here and there. Can you explain to us your story?
Okay, so my story is about a man named Gary Salisbury. He was a worker in the Quincy cafeteria, Quincy University cafeteria. He had just recently passed January 22nd to a heart attack. I'm just going around asking the workers who are in the cab, like, what was their fondest memory of him? Because Gary was a good dude. I love Gary. Every time I came in, he worked hard, never complained. He worked in the dish room, and speaking from experience, the dish room is pretty, it's not a fun place. But he would oftentimes work in there by himself. But he would just go in with the same attitude, not really complaining about his job and stuff like that. So just really reflecting on the life of Gary and asking members of the CAF, like, how they feel.
That's so awesome. And I know that you had connections with him, working with him and everything. So our hearts go out to the family, friends, fellow workers, and Micah with you.
Right. His cousin and sister actually worked in the CAF. It was Barb and Peggy. Peggy still works in the cab, but Barb left. She's been doing fine, so that's good to hear.
I mean, all of those CAF workers are really amazing people, and they truly connect with us students all the time.
Right.
So it's always hard to lose one, no matter.
Real talk, no matter who it is.
No, but that's a great story to, you know, open up to people and let people see that side of him. So we are appreciative of that, Micah. And so now we'll move on to something on the other side of that, a little happier, bring some joy back. So Chloe, you actually got to stay in Quincy over break, but not quite in Quincy the whole time. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I was in Quincy the majority of winter break, but I did get to go on the mission trip down to Biloxi just before Christmas. It was about 12 students made our way down there, long drive, but spent a few days just helping out different communities, a lot of communities in southern Mississippi and Louisiana, really struggling after natural disasters, Hurricane Ida just last year. And being able to be just involved in a few days of helping and seeing what other people are doing there every day, day in and day out, whether it's distributing food, helping prepare meals for other people. We got to buy and give out some presents for kids, and that was a lot of fun, and have a Christmas party as well. So just being able to be a part of that, and just it takes you away from a lot of the Christmas, the advertised Christmas that we get to see here, and just be involved in community and serving.
Yeah. That's so awesome, Chloe. And Chloe is actually a fantastic photographer. So really be looking for her story because she has some amazing pictures that she got to take while being on the mission.
Thank you.
The mission was fantastic and it was a huge success. And I'm sure tons of people are looking forward to it in the upcoming missions.
Yeah, they're going to do it every year.
So that's awesome. That's so great for everyone on campus, and I'm sure they were super thankful and down in Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, Evan, we have a big story coming from you this week. A lot of controversy on campus about the bookstore situation. Can you let us in on what they have to say and what students are saying and what we can find out from your story?
Yeah, so students have just returned back to campus for the spring semester, and classes have resumed, and the bookstore is, like, just loaded with a ton of books that has yet been picked up by students, and a lot of students have been reaching out to their professors, just letting them know they haven't received their books for the course yet, and it's just like a three-way communication that's going on with the staff at the bookstore and professors and students. Everybody is just trying to come together and just trying to find out a solution on how students could receive their books. So that's pretty much what's going on right now.
Yeah, I know personally, I'm still missing like three of my books, and I just received one of them yesterday, but I'm still missing three. And I know that I've been super frustrated. I've been trying to stay as patient as possible, but I've even had professors reaching out, letting me know that, you know, if I don't get my book within this week, I need to just buy my own. And it's tough because you want to count on your university to get it,
right?
And we're here to count on them to get it, but I don't want to have to pay out of pocket again for these books.
Of
so
course.
I definitely feel for the bookstore right now. I know they're under a lot of pressure and
for
everything,
sure.
But us students are also under pressure trying to get all of our homework done and read all of our stuff, so... Right.
And just to give some students that are still, like, wondering when will the books arrive, I was able to interview the Vice President of Business Affairs, Mr. Mark Schreker, and he informed me for students just to keep checking their emails because they will be notifying students when more books have arrived. They mentioned a lot of books have been on back order, so for any students that may have any more questions or concerns, just keep checking your email and the books should be on their way.
All right, well... Thanks for that information, because I know a lot of students are curious, and we keep seeing different emails saying different things, so we're just waiting. And then I guess my story is the last one of the week, and it's just chicken and waffles with President McGee, his favorite food, and a lot of students got to come out on Saturday and interact with other students that they wouldn't normally get to, and you got to see President McGee actually at work, and... He was serving us food and all of that. So it was just an event to get students to interact and get staff to interact with students as well on a different scale. So you can definitely go to qumedia.net to find these stories and tons more coming in the future. So keep a lookout. But, you know, that's all we have for today. So thank you for joining us on the QU podcast.